Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Hallelujah, 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 Toda Abayah, for another day, another Shabbat day, Father, and also, Father, for blessing us to see another holy season. Father, on the eve of the day of our coverings, Father, Yom HaKippurim, we ask, Father, that you continue to cover us, Father, that you continue to cover us with the precious blood of your Son, Yahushua, Father, who bid the price of all of our iniquities, O Yah, your only begotten Son, who you sent into this world, Father, to redeem us, Father, from ourselves, to redeem us, Father, from this untoward generation, Father, to redeem us, Father, from the sins that are committed, the offenses that are committed against you daily, Father. Father, I ask that you forgive me for all the sins that I have committed, O Yahweh, and that you have mercy upon me continually, O Yahweh. But Father, when I need to be chastened, Father, do not hold back. I don't need to ask you not hold back, Father. I know you won't hold back when it's time to whoop my booty. But Father, I thank you, Father, for those times that you have chastened me, Father, for those times that you have allowed me to be beaten down to the point, Father, where I was in a fetal position, crying to you, Father, for your mercy and for your forgiveness. Father, look down upon all of us, Father, that are afflicted, Father, for all of us that are experiencing emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual pain, Father. Have mercy upon all of us, Father. Father, I ask you to look down upon our Zakane, Metael, as he is in the hospital, Father, as he cries aloud to you continually, Father, that those prayers reach your ear, Father, and that you're able to ease him from the pain that he is experiencing, O Yah. And I thank you, Father, for Sister Marlene, that you have placed in his life, Father, to be there for him continually. She hasn't left his side, Father, except when she has to take care of herself. And I thank you for placing someone in his life that is so dedicated, so devoted to him at that time that he needs, Father. So lift him up, Father. Send that spirit to him, Father, to encourage him, Father, as he cries aloud, Father, that you will answer in your time, Father, and that you will relieve him of the pain that he is experiencing, Father. And I pray that for all my brothers, my sisters, my Zakanes, my Emas, my Zakanas, Father, my friends, my family, those that are far off and far off lands from the United States that tune in to listen here and there, Father. I ask that whatever they need, Father, that you give it to them, Father. Father, we need your spirit. We need your Son's spirit. We need your Holy Spirit, Father. We need it now in our lives more than ever, Father, because of all the things that are coming upon us, Father. And in particularly during your feast days, Father, we know that the adversary is busy because he doesn't want us to enjoy that time with you. Even tomorrow, Father, when we are called to afflict our souls, Father, he doesn't even want us to enjoy that sweet affliction that we experience, Father, in our service to you, Father. And we thank you, Father, for the way that you have been leading us, Father. How blessed are we, Father, to have double Sabbaths on each one of your holy days again. Father, what did we do to deserve such mercy, Father? What did we do to deserve such loving kindness from you, Father? Because we are sinners. We are sinful, Father. But we accept you, O Yah. We accept your Son, Yahushua, Father. And we thank you for calling us out, Father. We thank you for reaching down into this garbage heap time has turned this planet into, Father. And we thank you for redeeming us, Father. We thank you for salvaging us, Father. We thank you for saving us, Father. And Father, as we continue on this journey through your word, Father, we just ask that you still look upon us with mercy, that you still look upon us with loving kindness, that you still show us favor, that you still give us the healing that we need, Father, and that you continue to be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. These things, Father, we ask you, Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach, in the name of Yahushua, our anointed Savior, Deliverer, Redeemer. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And welcome again, family, to another blessed Shabbat day. And with us today in Blog Talk, I am your brother, Ahav Al, with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is another episode of Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I ask anybody, whether you know him or not, whether he has touched your life with joy and laughter or not, that you lift up Brother Mata'el again as he is in the hospital and he is experiencing significant pain and he is crying aloud to Yahweh. And also, family, he is also looking forward to seeing faces. You know, they are allowing brothers and sisters to visit him. So I ask if you are able that you go down to the VA hospital and visit him. And that if you need the room number, because trust me, he has a very generic name. So there's about a gazillion of them. If you go in there and ask him for his government name, you need more information because there's several of them and old ones there too. So if you need any information, additional information as to where he is, please do not hesitate to reach out to your brother Ahav Al or to your brother Mara Al, and we will definitely give you the contact information so that you are able to go see him if you so desire. All right. So, again, welcome to Brother Ahav Al. And today's lesson is called Cry Aloud. Cry Aloud. And it's one of the things that I learned from spending time with Brother Mata'el is that, you know, sometimes that's what you have to do. Not that you need to get our Heavenly Father's attention, but just sometimes to show how much you desire his attention. Because as the old song goes, his eye is on the sparrow. So we know for sure his eye is on all of us, those who he has let us know through the word that he has formed us, made us in the womb, that he has created us for his divine purpose, that he has called us and raised us up in this day and age to root up, tear down, rebuild, and plant. You know, we have a mission, family, and as was stated by my brother again last night, you know, we are the fulfillment of prophecy. However, if we do not walk in that reality, if we do not absolutely 150% believe that within our being, the adversary got us. Because stronghold, he likes to keep us in. He likes to keep us within that realm of doubt, that realm of unworthiness, to the point where we feel like sometimes that he has completely turned his back on us. And he did say in his word that he would, because of the sins of our foreparents, he said, I got to step away from y'all for a little bit. I've got to see whether or not there is going to be a generation of people, of children, of my children that are going to seek me out, that are going to desire me more than anything else, more than fame, more than fortune, more than education, more than fancy things that are going to deteriorate over time. Whether we desire him more than we desire mother, father, sister, brother, wife, children, whether we are so dedicated to him and his ways that we don't let anything get in the way of us having this relationship with him. Don't let anything get in the way, not even ourselves, in getting our salvation and maintaining our salvation and praying for endurance and praying for strength through the difficult times in our life, family. If you think that your situation is too difficult, go through the scriptures and read the accounts of what he endured for an entire 24-plus hour period until that point that he said, it is finished. If you think what you're going through is just too much for you to endure, ask yourself a sincere question. How much more has he endured for you? Because not only did he take upon himself our iniquities when he did not deserve to pay that price to be afflicted in the way that he was afflicted, to be beaten, whipped, scourged, beard plucked out, crown of thorns upon his head. And even to the end, as they put nails in his hand and in his feet. And then put him upright so that all the people that were there to see him get executed could see that he bore a curse for us by being hung on that tree. For our sakes. You say, well, that don't really count at this time of the year. That's Passover. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. This time of the year, it is just as significant as it is during the time of the Passover. Because through him doing that, we gain our covering. Through his precious blood, our sins are washed away. We are cleansed by that act that he took. So let's not take that for granted, and let's not let anything get in between us and our relationship and what it is he has called us to do, family. Don't be faint. But if you do get faint, cry aloud. Ask for strength. Ask for endurance. Don't stop asking for it. Remember the parable that he gave of the judge that did not revere anybody. He wasn't even a godly judge. He was just a judge. But because that widow came to him every single day until he said, you know what? I'm just going to give you what you want. But do you have that endurance? Do you have the mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical wherewithal to say, I am not going to stop until you answer my prayer? But it doesn't mean then that you don't do your part in doing what you need to do in order to take care of the things that need to be taken care of in your life. Because again, as the word says, you showed me your faith without works. Oh, I'm going to show you my faith through my works. And as was once said by a brother a few teachings ago, sometimes things just happen in our life. And that is true. There are circumstances that just happen in our life. But it doesn't negate the fact that we still can pray and ask Yahweh to help us out of those circumstances that have come upon us just by happenstance. But anyway, again, family, the name of this lesson is called Cry Aloud. And it's not going to be a long lesson, family. You know, one of the things that Abba was initially telling me to say was, you know, just take some time to reflect. Just reflect. Take this Shabbat day to reflect on what we have to look forward to later on this evening as the new day comes in. So he said, give everybody some time to reflect, to sincerely reflect on all what we have been experiencing up to this point. All the heartache that we have been experiencing up to this point. All the pain, physical pain, mental pain, spiritual pain, emotional pain that we have been suffering up to this point. And take some time to get down on our knees. Take some time to pray to him. Take some time, you know, talking with my brother about baptism. The other day, matter of fact, yesterday, we were talking about baptism, you know, and he had dropped some revelation on me about, you know, baptism and getting that Ruach HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit. But the one thing that you have to have a certain level of commitment. You have to commit to that baptism. You have to take that first step and say, I want to take the dip. I want to have this relationship with you. I want to commit my life to you. And you know what? Sometimes you have to be reminded of that commitment, as my brother went through last night. Sometimes we, even after getting the dip, pull away a little bit. Sometimes we get a little distracted. Sometimes things happen. And sometimes we need to recommit. You know, it's no different than a couple that have been together for X amount of years, and, you know, they may say 1 year at the anniversary, you know what, let's renew our vows. Sometimes you got to renew your vows with the Heavenly Father and His Son, Yahushua. Sometimes you got to do that. And you know what? The holy days, and in particular the day that we are going to experience tomorrow, is a day just for that, family. So take some time to reflect. Take some time to ponder the relationship, this personal relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father and His Son, your personal Savior, and talk to Him. Talk to Him. So again, without further ado, I know I done talked enough. Let's start off, family, in the book of John, St. John, chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And again, that's why I'm not going to be too long. A very simple and succinct message about crying aloud. And the writer says, "And as Yahushua passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So the first thing they thought when they saw this blind man was somebody had to have messed up somewhere. Mommy or daddy did something so bad that the affliction of blindness was placed upon this son. Because in their mind, they couldn't see past, as we will see, the power of the man that they had spent the greater part of at least 2 years every day sitting at his feet talking to him. But one of the things we come to understand, there were certain things, even the ones that he had chosen, handpicked, that he sat with, that they sat at his feet, and he let those fiery embers that dropped from his mouth land on the fertile ground of their mind. That they couldn't see certain things. They couldn't see past the affliction. But let's see what happens, right? Again, 9:2. "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Who messed up?" And Yahushua answered, 9:3. "Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of Yah should be made manifest in him." So sometimes when these things happen, sometimes when we come across these situations, it's not because anybody sinned. It's not because anybody messed up. Sometimes it's because Yahweh has to be made manifest and be made manifest in a great way in an individual's life. And hopefully we'll see that today. Again, 9:3, Yahushua answered, "Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of Yah should be made manifest in him." So Yahweh, think about this now. And think on the lines of us being created for a purpose. This individual that was struck with blindness within the lifetime of Yahushua, whether he was born decades before him, whether he was born after him, the point of the matter is he was in Yahushua's lifetime so that Yah could be made manifest in his life and a testimony for others who are around him. 9:4, "I must work with the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long, 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." 9:6, "And when he had spoken thus, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way thereof and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Yahushua made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was Shabbat when Yahushua made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him, how had he received his sight? He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of Yah, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So look at the entire scene, family. As they say, dig the scene. Here it is, a known blind man who sat and begged and was well known throughout the world of Judea. Pharisees knew him. Many people knew him and knew he was blind from birth. But now he is giving them a testimony on how he received his sight. And an obvious miracle that no man has done, that no man had done, that no man up to that point had experienced. Now they want to find a reason. I'm doing something. Okay, thank you. Told you I was teaching that, right? Sorry, family. A man that they had known was blind, a man that everyone within that area witnessed what had taken place in this man's life up to that point. And now the miracle has come, and the only thing the Pharisees can do is try to find fault because it was done on the Shabbat. Like that matters. Like that is the point. And now let's go back to why this man even made blind. So that the very one who painstakingly knitted him together in his mother's womb could give glory to the one that sent him to do such a miracle. But all the Pharisees could focus on is that it was done on the Shabbat day. And now accuse him of not keeping the Shabbat. That's not even short-sighted. That's not even being blind in the sense of not seeing the obvious. That right there is just being an evil and untoward individual. That the only thing that they could focus on that point, was not the miracle that was made obvious to all of them. But they immediately tried to find fault. 9:16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, the man is not of Yah, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Among who? Among the Pharisees. Not that I came to bring peace. I came to bring a sword and put people at variance with one another. Isn't that what is taking place even to this day, family? And I'm not talking about Pharisaic Judaism. I'm not talking about them at all. I'm talking about among Hebrew Israelites, among other nations who are coming into this knowledge and understanding of the deity of Yahushua, of who he is, or better yet, of even using the proper name. That is still a big sticking point among many of us to this day. Let's read on, 9:17. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. So the blind man, just based off the miracle, immediately recognized, oh, he got to be something special. He got to be a prophet. 9:18. The Yehudim did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth now he see? He now see. 9:20. His parents answered him and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. So they're affirming, yeah, he was born blind. That's for sure. We birthed him. We've been taking care of him for just about all his life, because how much can a blind person do without somebody helping them? Without somebody leading them along? Without somebody guiding them? And trust me, for the first part of his life, that's all his parents could do for him. Lead him along. They can't send him to go out and play. They can't send him to go up the street to the corner store and grab a loaf of bread. They can't at any point depend on him to go out into the field and take care of the sheep, plant corn, plant grain. So whereas when a parent has a child, they look forward to that child coming up at some point and being able to contribute to the household. This gentleman wasn't able to do that. So they knew very much, and don't take this the wrong way, the burden that his blindness placed upon them in their life. Nine 20 again. His parents answered them and said, we know not this. We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. And who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. So they're basically saying, look, we know he's blind. He's seeing now. And we're happy about that. But we can't tell you what happened. We wasn't there. He's old enough to answer at this point for himself. Then on top of that, he can see. He's just blind. He's not deaf. He's not mute. He's not lame. So if you got any questions about his situation, he old enough to answer. He's well enough now. As a matter of fact, he's in a better condition to answer whatever questions you got of him than he was when we birthed him, or at least up until the last time we saw him. So again, therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. 9:24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give Yah the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Hold up. Yeah, we know that just in general, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yah. But how is it now they just going to pronounce this man a sinner, when even Yahushua didn't say that he was in this state because of his parents' sin or even for his sins, but because he was there to manifest the glory of Yah? But look at what they say. 9:24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give Yah the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, 9:25, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. 9:26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? So they said, They're accusing Yahushua of being a sinner. Right? Then they want to know, well, how can he do this thing? Now think about this for 1 second. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, who do you and your sons cast them out by? So now if he can heal, they're thinking to themselves, well, shoot, if there's a formula for casting out demons and we don't need him and his power or even Yah's power for that matter, maybe there's a way that we can perform healing, power of Yah being manifest, or without us believing on his son, or without us even believing in Moshe, maybe we could find a formula for healing. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? What's his secret? What he did? Because he a sinner. We don't believe that he could do this because he wouldn't have done this on the Sabbath day. So he can't be a man of God. 9:27, he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? So basically he's turning the affliction back upon them and saying, look here, I was blind, now I see. Now I keep telling y'all, in your hearing, as my brother say, in your hearing, what took place to me. So y'all, what y'all deaf? Y'all don't understand what I'm saying? You don't understand the words that are coming out my mouth? You don't understand my situation? My parents done told you I was blind from birth. I done told you. Everybody who's been around, y'all seen, I'm blind from birth. This is no trickery. I'm not playing any games. Again, 9:27, he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? So if I tell you again, you going to follow him? Then they reviled him, 9:28, and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moshe's disciples. Are you really? 9:29. We know that Yah spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. So this man, as my brother had been talking about, is arguing the case for Yahushua. He's bringing forth to them a case to say, hold up. Y'all, how could y'all even question this? How are y'all even bringing this into question? Well, you know what? Y'all ain't got to believe. I know what he's done for my life. How many of us feel the same way about the afflictions that Yahushua has brought us through? 9:31. Now we know that Yah heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Yah and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? 9:33, if this man were not of Yah, how he could do nothing. The same way y'all can't do it. Y'all couldn't do it. So if this man, if Yahushua was a sinner, how could he have done this for me? If he was truly a man that devoted his life to sin, this would be impossible. Again, 9:33, if this man were not of Yah, he could do nothing. 9:34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Mm. 9:35, Yahushua heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of Yah? And he answered and said, who is he, master, that I might believe on him? So this man, Yahushua did the miracle and bounced. All he did was, boop, spit in the clay, put the clay on his eyes, told him to go dip in the Siloam. And Yahushua didn't even stand around. And he told him, follow his instructions, dip in Siloam and then present yourself to the priest. That's all he asked him to do. He didn't stand around to wait to be praised. He didn't stand around looking for any glory. So this man still up to this point hadn't even laid his eyes on the one that gave him sight. He answered and said, "Who is he, master, that I might believe on him?" And Yahushua said unto him, 937, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Master, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Yahushua said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that thou might see not, so that which see not might see, and that which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees, now 40, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Yahushua said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remained." Oh, I love the sweet poetic justice of Yahushua when he deal with these Pharisees. He said, "Okay, well, since I did this by my sin and you don't believe, guess what? Your sins are going to remain upon you." Next reading, family, I'm going to do is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, starting at verse 46. And this was the whole point of the lesson about crying aloud. 10:46 reads, Mark 10:46 reads, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Yahushua of Nazareth, he began to cry aloud, to cry out and said, 'Yahushua, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Shut, be quiet. Making too much noise. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." See, sometimes situations come about us in our life. We let that voice in our head, or we let people that know about our situation, shh, quiet. Shh, quiet. Shh, be quiet. Because that's exactly what's happening here. But you know what? Bartimaeus, or as he is described as blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, and we're going to look at that name. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. The one other sense that he had, once he heard that it was Yahushua walking, he wanted that healing. He wanted his sight. So he wasn't going to let himself be stopped by nobody. We're going to read on. 10:47. "And when he heard that it was Yahushua of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Yahushua, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Shh, be quiet. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Yahushua, son of David, have mercy on me." And Yahushua stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee." Brothers and sisters, whatever it is you're going through in your life, don't stop crying aloud. Whether it's voices in your head, whether it's people getting in the way of what it is you desire, and I'm not talking about a car, I'm not talking about a house, I'm not talking about land, I'm not talking about any material thing, I'm talking about what it is you are lacking with your relationship with our Heavenly Father. Don't let anything stop it. Don't block the miracle that he can perform in your life because you won't cry out. first thing that happened after he cried even louder, family, let's look at it again. Let's walk through this slowly. 10:49, and Hushua stood still, cry out to him, and you get his attention, he going to stop what he's doing. He stood still. And then after he stands still, he's going to command for you to be brought up to him. That means your prayer is going to reach him, family. That prayer is going to reach him. The only way, scriptures say, to reach him is through that broken spirit and that contrite heart. Once you reach to that point where your spirit is truly broken and your heart is contrite, that's when you will get his attention. That's when he's going to stand still, because now at this point, he knows that you're ready to receive that blessing from him. And he's going to call you at that time to come to him through his angels, through the ones that he has sent out. Listen to what the word says. And Yahushua stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man. He didn't call him directly. He commanded for him to be called. And they, his disciples, his apostles, those trusted ones that were in his inner circle, went and got him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth for thee. So whatever affliction that you're in, cry aloud. Don't be faint. Get his attention. If you really want it, how bad do you want whatever it is in your life that you need from him? How bad is it that you want it? Are you ashamed to call out for him? Because others might be around listening and hearing you. I can tell you what I witnessed. When you're truly afflicted, and you're laying there and you need him, you don't care who's around. If you really want that healing, you're going to cry aloud to Yah. But have you done that yet? Have you cried aloud to Yahushua yet? Have you made your voice be heard by him? And not that his ear is too far away to listen. But now is your voice at that point where it's going to grab his attention? For him to turn around and send his messengers to draw you near to him. 10:49 again, and Yahushua stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Yahushua. Did he just get naked? And I don't mean butt naked. I mean, did he take off his garment and rose up and start the journey toward Yahushua? This is kind of similar to the prodigal son. It didn't say Yahushua went towards him. It said he casted away his garment and rose and came to Yahushua. See, oftentimes we think Yahushua is going to come to us. Sometimes you got to make that step towards him. Oh, put forth the effort in your life for what it is that you really want from him, if you really want it. If you really want it. So you mean this is also a similar situation to show me your faith without works, but I'll show you that I want to be given the blessing of sight by walking towards him, by just letting my other senses that work, hearing, smell, taste, touch, lead me towards him. 10:50, and he, casting away his garment. I mean, just imagine the scene now. He calling for you. What? Whew. whatever was hindering him, whatever was holding him, even if it was just a robe, a t-shirt, whatever it was, he cast it aside, he got up, and it said he came to Yahushua. 10:51, and Yahushua answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What you want from me? Why you keep calling my name? What you want from me? And not with no attitude. He's like, I heard you call me. I sent somebody to talk to you, to get you. What is it that you want from me, my son? The blind man said unto him, Master, that I might receive my sight. It's the only thing I want from you. Just open my eyes. Open thou my eyes, that I may be able to see wonders in your Torah. And Yahushua answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Master, that I might receive my sight. And Yahushua said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Yahushua in the way. So we see two scenarios here. One man that Yahushua came across didn't cry out to him. But then we see this other situation where we know this gentleman by name. As it was told to us in 1046, I believe, was 1046. His name was Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Now, if you notice something, his father's name was Timaeus. And his name had Timaeus in it as well. So let's take a gander at that for a second, family, and that's really going to be the end of it. So that we can see exactly, so we can see exactly who Timaeus is. Now, if you've already done it, hallelujah. But if not, and you don't have the access, Brother Ahab is going to do this for you, all right? So, it says it's Greek 9:24, Bartimaeus, right? Bartimaeus. And it says of Chaldee origin, which we know, Hebrew Chaldee, right? And it's in Hebrew 12:47 and Hebrew 29:31. So Hebrew 12:47, of course, is Ben. Those of us who know Hebrew, if you don't know Hebrew, Ben simply means son, right? So that's from Bartimaeus. So at this time, speaking Hebrew Aramaic, in Hebrew Aramaic, bar is the equivalent to Ben for son, like they have in Jewish tradition to this day, bar mitzvah, son of the mitzvah, right? They don't say Ben mitzvah, they say bar mitzvah. So the next Hebrew word, Hebrew 29:31, is tame. Now we should be familiar with this. Foul, in a religious sense, defiled, infamous, polluted, pollution, unclean. So he was the unclean son, Bartimaeus, the unclean son of Timaeus, which is basically the same thing. He's the unclean son of an unclean person. So we see two entirely different situations. One situation, the first one that we read in John, the gentleman's parents, yes, even though, yes, we know they were sinners, but whatever the son experienced wasn't the result of something that the parent did or had done by what Yahushua said. But now we have this man who was by name called the unclean son of the unclean. But see, sometimes what happens is the unclean son of the unclean person even though both are made for the glory of Yah, sometimes when you're in that unclean state that we all find ourselves into, sometimes you got to cry aloud. Sometimes you got to get to that point where you want the master's attention. where you want the master's healing to the point that you don't let anyone or anything get in your way, not even yourself. Not even yourself, family. And you know, one of the things I love about 52, that Yahushua didn't even tell him, you know what? Now that I healed you, come follow me. Yahushua gave him the option to say, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. He let him know, look, your faith is what you needed to make you a complete person. And Yahushua gave him the option, you can do whatever you want after this. He said, go your way. Your faith made thee whole. And now we do see that ultimately he did follow Yahushua in the way and became one of his disciples. But the blessing was a free gift. Didn't come with anything. No other requirement. He didn't even tell him to do what the other man had done. Go wash yourself in Siloam. Go see the priest. Present yourself to them. Show them what had taken place. In this situation, Yahushua will say, you know what? Go your way. Your faith in me has made me whole. Has made you whole. Sorry, not me. Yes, but my faith in him has made me whole. A lot of times, because you know your brother Harbel, he's a spiritual goofball. He done messed up many a times and still continue to mess up. And me being Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, there are plenty of times I had to cry out to him and ask him for his healing. Even recently, I shared with my brother, the spirit was on me hard. Spirit of heaviness was on me hard. 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 My brother said, you okay? And I had to just confess it. No, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. And I told him, I don't even know what's wrong with me. We got to pray. Let's pray, Aki. My voice ain't as deep as it. We got to pray. Let's pray, Aki. You know, and I had to share with him. It made me feel like that situation back in the day when we used to watch the wrestling. And Hulk Hogan used to be down for the count. Iron Sheik had him in a camel clutch. Had him in a camel clutch. One of the most impossible fake wrestling moves in history to break. Took a whole lot of acting to sell that move. And the camel clutch got him. That's how that spirit had me in the camel clutch. And it wasn't even like it was a tag team match. I was in the ring by myself. Called out to a brother. Then the brother sent the spiritual tag team to me. And that spiritual tag team gave me the strength and the desire to get out that camel clutch that spirit had me under. And as I gained my strength back, I was able to take that spirit, throw it off the ropes, use an atomic leg drop on it, and through the power of the Most High Yah, got my 3 count on that spirit. But the wrestling match isn't over then, family, because remember, Naphtali, my wrestling, and not just my wrestling family. We say the name Naphtali, which was one of the 12 sons, one of the tribes. My wrestling. What do you wrestle with? What do you wrestle with? Because we say that name Naphtali, it means my wrestling, your wrestling, our wrestling. What do we wrestle with, family? And what are we wrestling with? What are we struggling with? Because that's what a wrestling match is. Now, remember who his daddy was. His daddy was Yaakov, who was later named Yisrael, and he only got that name Yisrael because Yaakov wrestled with an angel. And he wouldn't let the angel go And the angel said, you know what? I got something else I got to do. I can't stay here wrestling with you all this time. So he said, pow, touched his head. He said, there go your blessing. But now, we're going back to the Gershom Daniel days, family. His walk was never the same. And he had to walk with a limp. Walk with a limp. But he got that blessing from the angel of the Most High. And he said, at that point, I saw him. Panaim, Panaim. Faces to faces, family. But isn't that what happened to this man? Bartimaeus? He was able to see Yahushua to his face because he cried out to him and would not be denied his blessing. Cry aloud, family. Do not deny yourself the blessing that Yahushua HaMashiach has for you. Cry aloud, family. Don't be denied your blessing. Shalom, brothers and sisters. Shabbat shalom. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, all glory, all honor is due to you, O Yah, and your son Yahushua. We thank you for the blessing that you have given us this day, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to look upon us with mercy, that you continue to uphold us, Father, that you continue with your loving kindness, Father, to give us the daily bread that we need each and every day of our lives. And as we enter into this double blessing that you have given us, Father, and we get to the day where we afflict our souls, Father, that we use that opportunity, Father, to cry out to you, to cry aloud to you, Father, and go with the boldness and understanding, Father, that you will bless us with whatever it is, Father, that we need or that we lack, Father. But give us the patience, give us the endurance that we need, Father. Give us the strength that we need to make it through as things progress, Father. We see things aren't getting any better. That no president of the United States, whether is he's an arrogant, pompous, braggart, or whether he's a sheepish, fawnish, frail-looking man, that the only one we could depend on in this day and age, Father, because we can't trust any of these quote-unquote elected officials, Father. All we can do is trust in you and what it is that you will do for us, Father. You are our shepherd. You have the flock under your care. You, O Yah, through your son Yahushua, who is the door to the sheepfold. It is you and only you, Father, and your son, whose hand leads and guides and protects us every day of our lives. So we ask now as we depart from this lesson, Father, and if we are able to fellowship, that we come together in the blessing of this Shabbat day to lift our voices to you and to give praise and honor to you and to your son, Yahushua. B'shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.
Climb alone, leave me. You will be the refuge for me, a tower of strength in the face of the enemy. Keep
a tower of strength in the face of the enemy, enemy, enemy. Some of us here by the enemy, the enemy of Babylon. I'd even know my hooks in my word is like a hammer, like a shattering rock. A crack through your heart and take the evil of walls. In my word is like a hammer, like a shattering rock. A crack through your heart and take the evil apart. See the old.
Tower of strength in the face of the enemy, enemy, enemy.